the church and ministry gifts. Again, we'll be able to see quite a number of things. I want to believe. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts. We explain that word spiritual as the word pneumaticos. It actually means spirit things. Spirit things or the things of the spirit. I would say, what is the spirit? You must have the first mention of the spirit in that book is 1 Corinthians 2:4. Where it says, I come to you in the demonstration of the spirit and power. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. In demonstration of the spirit and power. And he was talking about the preaching of the gospel. And so, that means, listen very well, the spirit will be closely associated with the gospel. We said that, Abby, that the spirit is given for what? For service. Abby, for ministry. So, again, will you closely associate the spirit with the gospel? Again, look at the first mention, which, of course, in the book of Corinth. Again, we said, by saying spirit, what else do you associate with spirit? Closely, very closely. What else do you associate with the spirit? Very closely. Said it. Resurrection, exactly. Resurrection is part and parcel of the spirit. And what do you now associate with resurrection? The church of God. Alright. And so, the spirit and the ministry. We said everyone is included, right? The inclusion in the ministry is for every man. Every man. Going to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whosoever believes and is condemned. Everybody was given that great commission. Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go into the world and make disciple of every nation. Again, disciple is one who you teach that now does what you do. Matthew. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O. So a disciple is one who you teach to do what you do. So discipleship will be by precept and by example, that is by teaching and by acts. Alright? And so, if I am preaching to someone and he's my disciple, what does that mean? He would also one day, what? Preach and also have disciples. Can my disciple be a lady? So, again, there's an all inclusion in discipleship. There's no gender bias for discipleship. Also, there's no age bias. There's no young evangelist. there's no young person that cannot preach. Again, the qualification for preaching the gospel is not age. Timothy was historically about 16 years old when he was the bishop in Ephesus. And so, age will not be a bias. Gender will not be a bias. There are actually requirements to meet that are not gender and age biased. Again, we said in Matthew 16, Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, in verse 16, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay. And Jesus said unto him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you." That was Simon by Jonah. "Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is heaven, and upon this rock will I build my church. The gate of hell will not prevail against it." Again, upon which rock? Upon the fact of the resurrection, the living God. So upon that rock will I build my church, and upon the revelation you just said, will I build my church, and the oikodomio ecclesia, oikodomio mau ecclesia, that is, I will build mine, mou, M-O-G, my church, ecclesia, and the gates of hell, the gates will be in fair authority. It would refer to the power of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, that means the church was called out from hell, triumphed over the authorities in hell, the authorities of darkness, and now we are in the kingdom of God. But after Jesus now said that in Matthew 16, we have to remember that in Matthew 18, what happened? He now tells them that there will be authorities in the church, right? Right? Verse 15 says, "If your brother trespass against you," Matthew 18:15, "your brother trespass against you," he said, "go tell him his fault, And if you would yield, you would have gained your brother. But say if you will not accept, you take two or three people with you, so that they can help you gain your brother, because in the mouth of two or more witnesses, the truth established. They said, if you will not hear, you tell it to the church. Again, to the church there is to the elders of the church. That is the definite authority, remember? The definite authority among the called out ones. Again, they are the called out ones, but they are now called out among the called out. Is it making sense? So that would be the church in Matthew 18:17-18. Alright, so you tell it to the church. If they will not hear him, then that's when you now treat him like an heathen and a publican, because there is no authority that supersedes the one we have in the local church. Is it making sense? And so he now tells us that there will be authority, definite authority in the ecclesia. Again, the ecclesia will be people of the same origin. I'm just going over the things you have said before. People of the same origin, to have the same fatherhood, of course, that will lay credence to what the writer of Hebrews will say in Hebrews 2, verse 12, that he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are of one, of which cause is not ashamed to what? To call them brethren, are the foes of the same womb. Again, we came from the same womb. That shows our identity, our identification with the Christ. So they will be of the same origin. In Moses' congregation, again we said, whose language is the ecclesia? Eh? Whose language? So we said the language of the ecclesia will be Moses's. Is Moses, remember the way Stephen puts it in Acts 7:37? A prophet with the Lord raised among the people, among you. Again, the prophet will be among you, him shall you hear. Verse 38 now says Acts 7:38, of whom Moses spoke in the church in the wilderness. Again, we said that the proper appellation to Moses' congregation, the church in the wilderness. Again, the called out ones were called out from Egypt, which is symbolic of what? Of the world of sin, of the flesh, again, of death. They were called out of Egypt. You can listen to that. The hope of his calling. Alright. They were called out from Egypt, called into. Again, what was the hope of his calling? If you have heard that teaching in the last track, what would be the calling? The calling would be for what? Service. Let my people go, that they may what? Serve me. Again, that means what we have as the call of God is actually for ministry, that we explained the last teaching. Alright? The call is for ministry. I'm saying that the call of God is actually on every believer. Apparently, and obviously, many people had experiences in the Bible that had spectacular events happen, divinely granted appearance. But then, that doesn't validate it really. Because supernatural sightings are not the proof of God's call. What we call the call of God upon a man's life is actually what? Maturity in the work of ministry. So when someone matures in the work of ministry, and is given responsibilities, right? That responsibility is now what you call pastor. Pastor is not a title. Right? Pastoring is not a title. Pastoring is a job. It's an action. It's what you would do. Jesus will say in John 21, verse 15 to 17, we'll look at that later. You feed my flock. Right? John 21, 15 to 17. You find grace for my flock. That's pastoring. So pastoring is not title. It's not what you use to tie people down in church. No people do that. If you want to tie you down in the church, they now make you leader, make you pastor. Because the thing that once you make me pastor, it's a beatitude, baby. that's a worldly wisdom. That's not done. You don't even make new converts pastor. You make new converts pastor. How do pastors emerge? You train people in the work of ministry when they have been tested. Mark that word. They will have been tested. Tested. You test how they look at how they handle emotions. How they handle their relationships. How they handle things that you put under their care. Eh? The one that doesn't submit report early. That's not the one that can pastor. Because you cannot take care of small things. You are in a music team. You look at your diligence there. You are in the protocols. You look at your diligence there. You know? The leaders there must give good report about you. Yeah, okay? that in works. We look at how did you take it? Because if you take what you do in the natural with levity, you will take the people of God with levity. In fact, much more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What led me to this? Okay, the call of God, we are looking at the call of God, we are seeing that the minister of God is every believer in Christ, right? Right? What about the man of God? Every man born of the Spirit is a man of God. Okay? So, again, the call that once is Moses' terminology, the ecclesia, and we'll just really look at that, and we'll wrap it. Look at Exodus 18. If you observe in Moses' congregation, we have the general assembly. Please pay attention to this. This will introduce us to the ministry gifts. Is that clear? If you observe in Moses' congregation, we have the general assembly, and then we now add the elders of that assembly. So pay attention. We now add leadership. Exodus 18. Verse 1. Please pay attention as we read. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God has done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord has brought them out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, and he had sent her back. After two sons, of which name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. That's Moses. I said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar. For the God of my father, he was my help. Again, Eleazar is taken from that Ezar in Genesis 2. He said, I will provide him an helpmate. And so Moses now named his son Eleazar. Crazy guy, yeah? Alright, so. For he said, he was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, now listen very well. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he camped at the mount of God. Verse 6. And he said unto Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, come unto you, and thy wife, and your two sons with her. And her two sons with her. Verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he did obeisance and kissed them. And they asked each other of their welfare. That's how are you? And they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced. How about that? Is that the response to salvation? First thing. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord has done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the land of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the land of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifice for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, with Moses' father-in-law before God. Verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. The word judge there means to teach, to instruct. What was he teaching them at this point? Or what do you think we'll be teaching them at this point? The oracles of God, right? The statutes of God, the message of faith. That's what we'll be teaching them. The message of faith, the statutes of God, the gospel that preceded every one of them, including Moses himself. The gospel that was preached to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, again, that will be what he will be teaching them. So, if you see judge, you'll have thought that probably it's just a settling fight. No. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses judged the people, he taught the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning till evening. Imagine, that's a teaching meeting. Right? As I'm teaching, right in the Old Testament, from morning till evening, Moses kept
teaching. You should have that more. Hallelujah. You see? And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, what did he say? He said, "What is this thing that you are doing to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening?" Now observe something that he's about to say. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to what? To inquire of God, that is to know of God. They come to me to know of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I teach between one and another, and I make them know the what? The statutes of God." Can you ask what he's teaching? The statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "This thing you are doing is not good." Observe. Now, Jethro is one of the wisest men you've ever seen. But observe what he said. "That will surely wear away." That will wear out. "Both thou and this food that is with you. For this thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform it yourself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give you a counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people God's word, and thou will bring the causes to God. And thou shalt what? Teach them ordinances and laws. And you shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work where they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as what? Fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and what? Is that what you call? Choose people. That instead of everybody coming to you in thousands. Now, place some people to be rulers of thousands. Right under that, rulers of thousands, we now have rulers of hundreds. Under that, we have rulers of fifties. Is that what you call rulers of tens? Is that what you call self? Alright. So, see, why not create cells? Cells, zone, fellowship. Right? And you teach people, you now place them over those thousands, fifties, hundreds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you say cell meeting, is mostly so. And so you say, so Jethro brought an idea that why not, instead of teaching everybody mass, look for people, able men. Look at the characteristics. Men that fear God. Men of truth. Men that hate covetousness. They are not greedy. They are not looking for what is not theirs. And place such men over people in rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of, and let them judge the people at all seasons. That is the name what? Teach. Abi? Come on. Okay, let them judge the people at all seasons. Every great matter shall be, and that every great matter shall be brought unto thee. But every small matter what? No, he said, Moses, you will wear out. And imagine that it's the pastor. Imagine I'm the one teaching every cell. How about that? And I'm the head of every prayer group. I will not just wear out. I will have died. Can you do it? You teach the cell in Unilag today. You teach the cell in Solo. Teach the cell at Shaga. Teach the cell at Mushin. Teach the cell at... I mean... even if you don't have a job. That job is what we keep. That one. You know? He says, Moses, you will wear out. Morning to evening, every day, you are from, hey, Abraham. He said, why not now call people that you trust? People that are able, that hate covetousness, that are men of truth, trustworthy, Abi. Is that honest report? Acts 6:3. Men of honest report. We see that too. That says, look at those men, then put them over these people now. Again, we are looking at the ecclesia and the leadership in the ecclesia. Verse 23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all these people shall go to their place in peace. And so Moses hearkened to the voice of the father of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses what? He chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. That's why I like the structure. I like, for example, and so there's a structure in place for the church. You have a structure where you have parishes or districts, then you have groups, then you have province, then you have regions. I think that's the way the Redeemed Christian Church of God does it. You have region. You have region 1, region 2, region like that. You know? That way you can always have authority. If your zona, if your parish pastor is not correcting you, your zona pastor will, and then the province pastor will know the zona pastor. You know all the zones that are under him. Then all the zones also have parishes under them, right? And the parishes also have fellowships under them. Come on, that's a beautiful structure, right? Right? So when you see someone like Pastor Adeboye and you're talking to him anyhow, you know, I mean, that is the one. That's the Moses. Yeah? That's the regions. Regions start with world regions, though. In fact, he has countries under him. Continents first. First in charge of Africa. First in charge of other than our pastors in charge of countries. Other than our pastors in charge of regions in the country. Then other pastors in charge of provinces. Then have zones. Then you have parish. Then you have fellowship. And you now left all those ones. You now want to talk to Holy Pelaye. Hallelujah. And so, Moses arcane, verse 25, he chose men out of Israel and made them heads. Verse 26, and they judged all the people of citizens. The ask causes they were to Moses, but every small matter they judge themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart and went his way into his own land. He has done what he came to do, which is noble. Hallelujah. So he was teaching them the oracles of God. Look at verse 25. He chose men out of Israel and made them heads. The word heads is the word Rosh. R-O-S-H. It means authority. Authority. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 13. Look at verse 12. How can I myself bear alone your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Deuteronomy 1:12. How can I alone bear your cumbrance, your burden, and your strife? Verse 13. Take you what? Take you wise men. And understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them what? Eh? Is that what the apostles also told the church? Eh? Eh? When he said, we cannot leave the world to serve tables. Abi? Obviously, that's the same thing that's happening in Deuteronomy now. So I cannot, your stripe, your cumbrance, your burden, I cannot take care of everything. Go and look among you. So can you see that the apostles actually took from Moses? Come on. Eh? So again, that's the same thing the apostles repeated in Acts chapter 6. Say unto you, wise men. The word wise is the word chakam in the Hebrew. C-H-A-K-A-M. Chakam. It means discerning. Wise men. People who can discern. Take among you discerning men. Men of understanding. And what? Known. The word known is not popularity. You know, I said that probably now use popularity to choose leaders in the church. No. The word known means experienced. Who are experienced among you. Who are experienced among you. Well, so he says, you take those men and I will make them rulers over the men of understanding and men of experience. Go back to Exodus. In Exodus 19, verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thou shalt say this to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. And you shall be what? A kingdom of what? Of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Again, that means God's plan for Israel was that everybody would be priests. You will be unto me a kingdom of priests. Everybody will be priests. And that's the way the New Testament teaches it. 1 Peter 2:9. For you are a chosen generation, right? A what? A royal priesthood. Well, again, Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. John also taught the same thing when he says, God has made us a kings and priests. Revelation 1:5-6 that has made us kings and priests. So the priesthood of Aaron will now become an afterthought. It was not God's plan. It was not Moses' plan from the beginning. It was an afterthought. That is, when the people now rebelled, of course, he already told them, you'll be a kingdom of priests. He said, about the priesthood. And so they told Moses in Exodus 20:19 that, no. You can hear God for us. Forget that priesthood. Priest means you hear God and talk to people for God, right? Right? That's a priest. A priest hears God and talks to the people for God. And that was God's plan for the entire congregation. That was God's plan for the entire congregation, but they rebelled. They said, speaking, I beg you, you can hear God. We cannot be priests again. So because of that, Aaron will now surface. But Aaron was not God's plan. Aaron was an afterthought. Deuteronomy 33. Learn something. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 2 says, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand where the fairy Lord before them. Yea, he loved the people, and all the saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive your word. Again, this is where discipleship will stem from, right? Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. This is where you now have so the plan of God for his church, right from Exodus, Deuteronomy, will be a kingdom of priests who will still be taught, right? They will sit down at his feet. There will be a kingdom of priests, but they will still be taught. They will sit down at the feet of the Lord. Of course, you know what it means to sit down at the feet? It means discipleship. It's not to sit down at my leg. Find that used in Acts chapter 22, verse 3, when Paul said, I sat down at the feet of Gamaliel. Acts chapter 22, verse 3. You find it in John. You find it in Luke 10. Martha, Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus. Okay. So again, what's God's plan again from the beginning, the original plan for the church? A kingdom of priests, and they will be disciples. That means, you find that they are priests, that they hear God and talk to God for people, does not mean they will not still be taught. Is that what we have in the church today? Right? Eh? Right. We are all preaching the gospel. That's the priesthood. But yes, you are still being taught. That's what we are doing now. The kingdom of priests, but yet they still sit down at his feet. You find that first, we quoted, I cited 1 Peter 2, right? You are a chosen generation, royal priesthood. You also find in Revelation 1, verse 6, those were Moses' words, a kingdom of priests. Exodus 18, back to Exodus 18. Exodus 18. Again, look at, we have read the entire chapter. But look at verse 20. And thou shalt teach them the ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work where they must do. Again, you will teach them ordinances. That will be doctrine, right? Right? So, he says, these leaders, these people will be put over the people. They are not just people that you are coming from the moon. Imagine starting a ministry. You started a ministry last week. This week, you already have leaders. What's that? Said some last week, you're already having pastor. Pastor something, 2 weeks. Someone joined your church last 2 months. In the space of 6 months, you already got him pastor. How? How? I don't understand. I believe a basic, even if you don't look at anybody at all, a basic rule is Paul's Acts 20. He taught in Ephesus. He taught them for 3.5 years before he made them anybody pastor. That's even, if not anything, 3.5. Which I believe is even small. to actually look at people who are actually following and loyal to you. You should be looking at something like 10 years. Just kidding. Hallelujah. You didn't find that funny, did you? Alright, so doctrine. So notice, the summary of what Moses said he would do to Israel would be to teach them. He would teach them, he would teach the people who are able, right? Men of truth, who don't have covetousness. They are not covetous. And then, He will now put them over the people. That's verse 21. Men that fear God. Again, if you look at Acts 3, the apostles also said? Let's quickly look at Acts 3. Just put one, your marker in Exodus 18. In Acts 3. Acts chapter 6. Sorry about that. In verse 2, the 12 called the multitude of disciples and said to them, it is not the reason, this is not the reason for us to leave the world and serve tables. Is that what Paul said in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 1, 13. When he said, I cannot bear your cumbrances and your strife and your burdens. So, he said, go and look for among you, people. Again, that's what happened in Acts 6. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, seven men of honest report. Is that men of truth? Eh? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom? Eh? Is that the discerning? Okay. And whom you may appoint over you, but we continually give ourselves to the word, to the ministry of word and prayer. Prayer. You find 1 Timothy 3. Paul also made, some requirements to be fulfilled before you can be called a leader of God's people. 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop is an episcope. The one who oversees, we'll see that later, much later. So he said a bishop must be blameless. The husband of one wife. And someone used this to say that if you are not married, then you should not pastor. And he said, you are not thinking because the Paul that wrote it is not married. You are just not thinking. Someone, the man that wrote for you that he must be a husband of one wife is not married. And so that means you would be saying if you are married, it can just be one. Is it making sense? Single-heartedness. You can't be using marriage as the yardstick or the requirement, the landmark or the benchmark rather for ministry. Jesus and Paul, the two loudest teachers in the entire scriptures, they are not married. How about that? So marriage cannot be what qualifies. But it says, husband of one wife, he must be vigilant, he must be sober, he must be of good behavior, he must be given to hospitality, he must be apt to teach, he must not be given to wine. Eh? He must not be an ambassador of legends and Buddha. Not striker. Striker does not mean playing football. Not like Aubameyang. No, striker means not greedy or filthy lucker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Again, covetous comes up again. That means a pastor cannot afford to be covetous. One who leads God's people cannot be covetous. You must not want what you don't have. As it were, you must not want outside what you are capable of buying or capable of acquiring. You must not want it. Your heart must be simple. You must not be greedy. You must not be guilty of filthy lucker. That is, your conduct must be on point. Again, so we see that, all these requirements will be from Moses. Abi? Eh? Men of truth. God fearing. Able men. That will be asked to teach. Right? Don't call someone that is Bible study assignment. You don't know what he has been getting. 2, 3. Yahweh has got ever 7. He has never cited 10. That cannot be apt to teach. That's not apt to teach. Apt to teach is you are consistently, you are high and stable. Then we can know you understand what we are teaching. And that's the person we can now put in charge of teaching people. Alright, back to Exodus 18. Verse 20. You shall teach them the ordinance. The word teach means is the word Zahar in the Hebrew, Zahar. Z-A-H-A-R. It means to shine the light. When you say teach or you judge, verse 13, Moses starts to judge the people. It's the word Zahar. To shine the light. So all Moses did here, was actually replicated in the epistles, right? Right? The apostles now taught the church, they will not leave the ministry of the word. Exactly what Moses was doing. To serve tables. What we now do is that we appoint men over you. And that's what apostles did too. They now appointed men over 10. Again, it should not be a biggie, because the ecclesia itself is from Moses. So that should not pose any issue. Look at Numbers 11. Because why am I going through this? Many have said that what we have as ministry gift today was Paul's nuance. That is, it's Paul's opinion. Do you get what you're saying? That there is really no need for any church, or there's no need for any gathering or any authority. That is Paul's opinion. And from what you have seen so far, does it look like it? Have I even mentioned Paul too much? Eh? Carefully, I've been trying to avoid it. Of course, there's no way we will not mention. John has 13 books. Out of 27, 13. And he's actually not mentioning. What will I be teaching? Hallelujah. Eh? Hallelujah. Alright. Numbers 11. Did I? Verse 16. Can we read together? Want to go? We read 16 and 17 together. I want it loud and clear. Want to go? And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you, and I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon you, and I will put it upon them, and it shall bear the burden of the people with you, and thou shalt not bear it yourself alone. Look at that. He says, now we have elders already. Now it says, gather unto me 70 out of those elders. 70 out of those elders. Who you know to be elders of you and are officers. Zagen in the Hebrew. Z-A-G-E-N. Z-A-G-E-N. You find the same word in Exodus 3:8. 3:6. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord. Just scrape that. Scrape that off. Okay. Again, just stand by yourself. Out of the elders, you now choose 70. Pay attention. You choose 70 out of the multitude, right? Again, all people were meant to be what? Priests, right? Priests, a congregation of priests and kings. Is that not what God promised? Right? Who will also be what? Thoughts, right? Come on. That's basic. You must understand one. There will be congregation of priests. That is, they will hear from God to talk to the people. But they will also be disciples, right? Remember Moses said, he will now teach them the ordinances. Right? Exodus 18:20. Right? Zahar. Z-A-H-A-R. Alright then, it's actually 70. 70 of them. And bring them now. Take of the spirit that is upon you and put it upon them. Again, he's now to choose officers. Those who are seven. Those who have already been over people. He now choose out of now to 70 again. Apparently, Jesus also had 12 disciples, right? He had many people who listened to him. They now chose 70 in Luke 10. I'm just saying, I'm not saying anything's happening. But Jesus also chose 70 people in Luke chapter 10. Out of the multitude that are following him. He now chose 70 to go and preach. Out of the 70, he now chose 12. No, Moses did the same thing. The spies, they were 12. I will just leave that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright, so, again, the spies were 12. 70 afterwards, the same, that's exactly what Jesus did also. He had 12, he had 70. Just saying. Look at Numbers 11. Verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they were out of them that were written, but went not out of the tabernacle, they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad, they are prophesying in the camp. Snitch. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." And Moses said unto him, "Are you envying for my sake? Would God, that is, this is God's will, would God that all the people were prophets," right? "Now all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord will put his spirit upon them." So Moses said, "Don't stop them." Actually, God's plan is for everybody to be doing what you are just saying. In their minds. In their minds. Because he has placed them as officers. Eh? There's not one professor in the camp. He now gives to him and say, stop him. You know. Is that not what Jesus did to? When the disciples saw some people who are working miracles, they came to tell Jesus. Say, we saw some people working miracles in your name. He said, if that is not for us, that is not against us, it's for us. That is God's plan, exactly, that everybody works miracles in his name. That's some replay of things. Nothing spooky. Numbers 13. Again, God's plan, what is in the word of God and the mind of God, is that the entire church will prophesy. And they will now have elders who will what? Teach. Thank you very much. The entire church will prophesy. They will have elders who will now teach. Again, those elders will still be disciples, Abi. Right? You'll be over people, but also still learning. Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. For of every tribe, their father shall send a man, and every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent forth the wilderness, and Paran, and all those men were the heads of the children of Israel. And so he sent 12 of them, in total. He sent Shamua, he sent Shaphat, he sent Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he sent, Igal, he sent Oshier. Oshier sounds like a former player in Man. John Oshier. He sent Oshier, he sent Palti, he sent Gadiel, then he sent Gadi. He sent Gadiel, then he sent Gadi, he sent Amiel, he sent Setor, he sent Nabi, that's verse 14. Verse 15, he sent Guel. These were the names that he sent to spy Canaan. Alright. And so, he was choosing from the crowd. That's what you do in ministry. The people you teach are the people you choose. You don't go and bring one foreigner or someone from nowhere. That's no tail, I know. To now come and be your cell lead. To be cell lead, that's over the people that you have been teaching over all these years. Zero in here. You, from the people, you choose the people over the people. Is it making sense? Again, the ecclesia is Moses. A key word here that we must not lose is the word elders and rulers. No? You keep seeing it, keep seeing it, keep seeing it. It had never happened before in Israel. They've had just elders. You know? They had Abraham. It's always 1-1. When you have Abraham, you don't have Moses around. When you have Isaac, you don't have Abraham. When you have Jacob, you don't have any other person. Does it make sense? But this time around, Moses is now having a multiplicity of elders. That's the first time. And that's the ecclesia. He now has multiplicity. He now has 70. Eh? You know, Israel must be shocked. We've never had 70 people that we can actually go to. But for that's God's plan. A definite structure of leadership in the ecclesia. Don't forget that Peter and John already told us that it must be a kingdom of what? Priests. A kingdom of priests. So in the ecclesia of the Old Testament, we had definite leadership. What Moses was to them, what Moses was to them, he now duplicated it in the 70. Don't forget, a consistent ingredient is that they were chosen from the people. Right? Right? That's what is consistent. They were chosen from the people. Go and bring someone from wherever. You know, that would even sound somehow, right? You know, just find someone there. And then make him pastor bad. I believe that people who should pastor, in particular local churches, should have been trained there.
at least you are trained. We saw when you spoke in tongues. We saw when you came for prayer meetings. We saw when you went for outreaches, right? Right? We were there through thick and thin. When the church was under persecution, when everything was down, when we were paying for venue, you are, you see what I'm saying? Then we now choose from among those men. We now look at, everybody is born of the Spirit, right? Everybody is a kingdom of priests. Everybody is preaching. We now look at specifics. Honest report. Right? Good works. Right? Is he a brawler? Is he a talkative? Is he a, you know, just look at, apt to teach, all those things. You now choose from among those people to oversee. That is the structure of the ecclesia. Again, if you understand this, by the time we now get to, he gave on some apostles, prophets, we'll just be walking on water. Walking on water. Oh. Hallelujah. Is that it all? Hallelujah. Alright, so in the ecclesia of the Old Testament, there's definitely leaders who have said that. Again, remember that Moses broke the congregation into what? In thousands, hundreds, fifties, and ten. What you call cells, fellowships, zone. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
So we now make rulers over each. I believe that's the structure we have in Glorious House. Praise God. Exodus 24 verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Again, apart from the people, he's now just talking about those who are chosen, right? He said, you, Aaron, the 70, the elders, you come. That's what you have as, when seven leaders have their own vigils. Something like that. Then you come from among the people, and then you worship. If I look at verse 9, then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. Numbers 11:24. I read. And Moses went out and told the people great words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Again, Moses just has a funny way of revealing his truth. Why will he go and put them in tabernacle? Again, to foretell the church of God. Is that clear?
Uh-huh.
So the ecclesia, same nation, come on, same nation, you've seen that, Abby? Come on, same nation, same father, same mother, same father, same nation, same leaders, yes, same leadership. Alright, so we can boldly conclude that on the way to Emmaus, Jesus must have taught leadership, must have taught identification, service, and leadership in the church. In fact, after the resurrection, there was orderliness. Orderliness. The women saw Jesus, right? And they went to orderly tell the apostles. No, they didn't go and carry bell. RTB. Atirio, atiri, kan, 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 kan. Yeah? No. They didn't tell any single soul. They went to Peter's feet. Orderliness. So Jesus would have taught them. Atiri, Peter, some people still take a lamp and they are looking for Jesus every Easter in the street. You don't see them. Touch. We are looking for him. We are looking for him. After like Jesus, I say, he has risen. Are you okay? You are looking for Jesus. You are looking for him in Lhasa. In Mushi, you even go to Lekki and look for Jesus. You are looking for him in Lhasa. You get out without your touch life. Saul has risen from death, and we still put him on the cross. Is that not a disukos? You don't have any disukos. It's a no sukos. You don't have any mind. No wisdom. This is essential wisdom. This one is no wisdom at all. Alright, so, again, definitely leadership. After the resurrection, you observe that there was orderliness. Peter will now rise up in Acts 2. After the spoken tongues and all. And they were asking them, what happened? He now stood up. Right? With the 11. And nobody talked. Nobody said anything except Peter. That's orderliness. It was not just that it doesn't happen suddenly. No, no. It's the ecclesia, the leadership. So Jesus has taught them the order of things. Just like when your pastor is talking, you keep quiet. You know? No. Someone, imagine someone asking a question. You're on the street and so on. Someone asking a question. And your pastor is there. And I say, let me just explain to you. What it means is, calm down. Calm down. Peter standing up with the 11. Peter now said, hallelujah. So there's always a definite structure. Leadership. Why would that be? For orderliness and for proper conduct. Again, in the dimension of Jesus, what would be the ministry? What is the ministry? If we are king, if we are priests, what would be the ministry? Eh? What are we hearing to say? What are we hearing to say? The gospel. The gospel now. We've explained it that the ministry is the gospel. That was what I did last session. What are we hearing to say? The gospel, right? Alright. So, Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in my name, begin at Jerusalem. Mark 16:15, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, whosoever believes and is baptized. He said, whosoever believes not is condemned. Matthew 28:19, you can make disciples of every nation. Again, that's what we will do. Who would that be from? Moses. Having taught them, you now say, go and teach others. So Jesus, having preached to them, they were now saved, upon 40 days, alright? He will now tell them, you to go and preach. That's Moses. He taught them, he now said, you to go and teach people. Praise God. Alright? So Jesus gave them the idea of leadership. He had many people who were listening to him. Out of those many people, he chose 70. Right? Out of the 70, he chose 12. He had 12 men, just like Moses. So they are now all to go around and proclaim the promised land. The 70, that was their job. To now teach the status of God. They will now start teaching the promised land. Is that what we are called to do too? Eh? Eh? The promised land, right? The Spirit of God, and that's what we teach. And teach to every man. So what is the job of the 70 elders? Again, please. To teach people, huh? And to prophesy. So they will teach, they will prophesy, and they will guide the people. That's the job of the elders, the 70. Again, that was the job of the apostles also. Look at Acts 1. After Judas did what he did. Verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up. Again, can you see the definite leadership? It was not just a day of Pentecost thing. He had been the one calling the shots. Yeah, he's the leader. He was the leader of the church. That's how many, history has it that he was the first pope. Right? Eh? Peter was the first pope of the church. True. Verse 15, it says, and in those days, Peter stood up and in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, look at that. So they had 120 people, but then they had 12, which is definitely leadership, right? Eh? So that means you had zonal pastors, you had fellowship pastors, and everybody knows his or her own role. Oh, ni foribe, hallelujah. Foribe means not jump the gun. Verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his voice goes, Peter. See the way he described it. Burst asunder. In the midst, his voice goes out.
He's saying this right, we know what happens to people who betray. Because they're about to choose another person. Just be knowing now, his brain burst out, his brain burst out. You guys that you want to choose, I'll be a Jemo. Verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem in so much that the field is called in their proper tongue, Al Kodama, that is a field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell there, and it be sharply clear than another man take. That is Psalm 69 verse 25. That's Psalm 69 verse 25. But what does it mean? It means, what he has done, nobody should repeat it, of course. His habitation, let it be desolate. Let no man dwell in it. Let no man dwell in it. That is what he has done. Let no man dwell in it. But his own bishopric episcope, E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E is bishopric. His oversight. That's what. That is, his oversight on the people. Let another person take it. But what he has done, nobody should dwell in that one. Okay? Again, you find out what bishopric used by Peter for Jesus in 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For we are sheep gone astray, but we are now returned to what? The shepherd and the bishop of our souls. The shepherd. He used two words for Jesus, 1 Peter 2, 25. He said he is the shepherd. Poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. That is the one who feeds, the one who finds grace for grace, G-R-A-Z-E. Z-Z-Z. Not C-O, not C for car. Z. I just, that's pronounced in another way. G-R-A-Z-E. You know what I'm saying? Alright, so. So he calls Jesus the shepherd, amen, and the bishop, episcope, the bishop of our souls. The one who has oversight over our souls. So you discover that Jesus is that shepherd. Just like Moses. Right? You know, Moses was the teacher. Right? Moses was the elder. Come on. Look at me. Moses was the elder. He was the teacher. What he now does is that he replicates that grace on others. Have you? Uh-huh. So just like that, Jesus is the shepherd. He is the pastor. He is the true pastor. What we have now is a privilege of his grace. We'll see that, because we'll talk about the grace of God in ministry. So, Jesus is that shepherd, and is that bishop. And so, whatever you find as ministry gift, who will be the first person? Eh? Jesus. He's the pastor, he's the apostle, he's the evangelist, he's the reverend. Hallelujah. What we have is a share in his grace. 1 Peter 5, 2. Feed the flock. The flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for fitting lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when what? The chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that faith not away. So he calls Jesus the chief shepherd. That is, you are shepherds though. You're also pastors, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's the one. He's that proton. Remember chief? Chief, Abby? When I explained Timothy, 1 Timothy, what was it? Of whom I'm chief. Right? Of whom I'm proton, right? Uh-huh. So, he's the chief shepherd. I doubt that's actually the same Greek word, but it will suffice. The explanation remains the same. Again, the language is from Moses. Moses was the real prophet. He was the one God called. I just use that again. Hey, God. They were all called. The entire Israel was called out of Egypt, right? But Moses was the elder. He was the teacher. He was the one that had the ordinance. But what he now did was that the grace that was upon him, right? Remember that when we just read, I'll take from your spirit, right? And I'll give them. Alright, so what we have is Jesus being the shepherd, he's the poimen, he's the bishop, is the teacher. It's covered that they called him teacher. John chapter 3 verse 2, Nicodemus says, thou art a teacher. No man can do these things except it be given to him from Abi. Man can always do miracles. He called him the teacher. You find that in Matthew chapter 7 verse 29 also, Jesus was called the teacher. He's also the great shepherd. John chapter 10 is the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10. What about apostle? He is the apostle of our profession. Hebrews chapter, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Wherefore, liberate the particulars of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, is the apostle. Hebrews 3 1. The definite article. Jesus is the apostle, is the bishop, is the shepherd, right? And so when you say ministry gifts are gifts in Christ. He is actually the one with the gifts. He is the gift. We are partakers of the grace. The bishop is Christ. And because we are in the resurrection, we now share his ministry. Go back to that Acts 1. His bishopric is another thing. Acts 1. So Peter says, Judas is gone. We have to replace him. What are we actually replacing? His oversight, right? Not just because we need number. No. Those people cannot be left like that. So we have to replace that oversight. What would they now use? Verse 21. How many verses do you want to 22 together? Want to go? Wherefore of these men, which have what? Company with us all the time. The Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Beginning from the baptism of John, unto the what? Same day was taken up from us, must be ordained to be a witness with us. Can you see what he's saying? Eh? Is that what Moses said as experienced? Known among you, right? You know, remember Moses, right? He says in Deuteronomy 1:13-14, you take men that are known among you, and I said that word known is experienced. That is, so that's what Peter is saying. That you can't just bring in someone that was not there when we had Bale. Something like that. You must know Bale. You must know high grade. You know, there will be a time when saying he can't just be, that's what Paul would say, he can't be a novice. He must be experienced. Experience not in the things of this world though. Experience that he must have been with us for long. What would that do? That means we have tested him, we must have known his attitude. You know, there are some people that they can fake, but you can't fake for long. Time is an expositor of wrong deeds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, he says the person must have been with us for a while. Hallelujah. So he says, for example, this time, he says, from the baptism of John. Abba. Peter. Eipor. From the baptism of John. At least we will not just look at, they will look at how to teach. Oh. They will look at all those things. Oh. Hallelujah. So how to teach is not the issue. We don't have to teach They don't have to teach. It's not conventional. It's not alright. But apart from that, do we know you? There are times that you have to know. And for example, Peter's case now, you have to be there. You have to be with them for 3.5 years. Because just ministry span 3.5 years. You see, the person that must replace you that must have been with us 3.5 years at least. Or at least 3 years. Before you can replace the oversight of Judas. There's something about that time frame that would have tested that man. You already know what he can do and what he cannot do. Right? Imagine me with someone for at least 5 years. Hallelujah. You can trust that person with pastor. You can trust the person with oversight because you have tested him on different platforms. Probably you have moved him from media to works, from works to music. He has gone through all the units. You would have said, he can take care of men. Hallelujah. The man that you commit a work to in church and he's not getting it done, he's not the one that will teach himself. He will run away. He will not attend cell meeting. Imagine he said that I will not attend cell meeting. He will be calling someone in cell meeting. You want me to take it? Yeah, bro, kidding. Where are you now? I'm in church. We are waiting for you, sir. I understand. I'm not around. I'm not even in Lagos. Take it. But what? I don't have the manual. Take anything, bro. You have the Spirit of God. That's what that kind of person will be doing. Why? Yeah? Because he has not even been faithful in the natural things. So faithfulness, that was just to say that he that is faithful in this is faithful in much.
Faithfulness will be seen in your little things. The things you do for the Lord will be seen it in your giving. That's what we know. That can this man actually give himself? Because anyone who cannot give his money cannot give himself. Just that simple. So Jesus so far has been called the bishop. He has been called the pastor. He has been called the apostle. And we see that what we actually have been is that we are sharing in what? In his ministry and in his grace. Again, note the qualifications for ministry gifts. You see that it is the same thing all over, Abby. Exodus 18, Acts 6, Abby, and 1 Timothy 3, Abby. These are the qualifications for being a bishop, being a teacher of the people, oversight over God's people. The qualification is the same thing. You must be trusted. You must be of honest report. Again, the ministry is teaching. That's why it's called the shepherd. The pastor is called the shepherd. Because the ministry is to find grace. Graze. To find pasture for God's people. And so you call the pastor a poimen. Poimen. A shepherd. The great shepherd is Jesus. We saw what he did. He taught them God's word. Acts 1, taught them God's word for 40 days. Luke 24, 25 to 27. He taught them from morning to evening. In Luke 24, 44 to 46, he taught them again. In fact, he recorded as an astute teacher of God's word, or the Old Testament. Luke 4, 18, he says, the Spirit of God is upon me. Luke 4, 18. He has anointed me what? To preach the gospel, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Again, that will be in the teaching of God's word. So Jesus is an astute teacher. And that means any man who have oversight over his people must also be a teacher. That's why Paul will say he must be apt to teach. Moses will say he must be able. And the apostles will say in Acts is he must be full of the Holy Ghost. So we'll see much more ministries in Christ. We have seen so far that nobody is excluded, right? Male or female, right? Do you think that the word of God originated with you? It's just for you alone. No. Everybody can speak with tongues. Don't forbid everybody to speak. Again, we said tongues will now be indicative of what? Preaching the gospel. So when it says don't forbid to speak in tongues, it should be keep preaching, right? Keep preaching. We can look at it in two ways. So he's saying don't say the women should not keep silent. No, everybody should preach, which is the plan of God for his church, a kingdom of priests. Everybody preaching, everybody teaching, Jesus glorified. Of course, we know what they will be teaching. It's a message. It's a message of reconciliation. Just a single message, a Caruso. We're all going to be saying the same thing, announcing a news.